Welcome. Welcome to Recipe for Peace Now. I'm your host, Sue Beller, and this is the show where we find practical, real-life solutions to difficulties bringing people together for a common goal, a common good. We will discuss listener emails, answer common questions, and at the end of the show, we will have two delicious potluck recipes made for sharing with your new community of, well, if not exactly friends, at least willing participants. If you would like to send in a question or favorite recipe, please contact us at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com or visit our website, www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Also, if you would like your prior shows, they are archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thanks. Now let's get started. This time we're going to be talking about handling setbacks. And we all have setbacks in our lives. Nobody's got a perfect life, even if other people seem to. And we need to be able to handle whatever happens with, well, some confidence and some grace, and not let it kind of bring us to our knees and become non-functional. Yeah, we have to keep going is the key to this. We always keep going, and we always try to keep going forward as long as we understand where success lies and how we're going to get there. Yeah, as part of our group at least. Yes, well, you know, handling setbacks applies to all of life. But in this show, we talk about it within our context, within the context of a negotiation, a consensus building, a dispute resolution, even a workshop and a seminar. So within our context, not just general life, because people are talking about all kinds of life setbacks. And thank you so much for being here, all of you. I see we have lots of participation. Thank you for being here. Yeah, I mean, whatever happens to us in our life does indeed impact, well, how we view the world, how we deal with other people, and our mood, I guess, we might call it, when we're doing a consensus building, a negotiation, an alternative dispute resolution, even a workshop and a seminar. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important to separate our personal lives from our business ones, because the business ones are different. And, well, I suppose, you know, people are saying they impact each other. Well, yes, this is true. If you're successful in business, it does impact your personal life. But I try to keep my personal life out of my business dealings because I suppose it's compartmentalizing. But I understand that everybody I deal with has a personal life, and I like their unknown, unstated, deeply felt personal life not to impact my dealings with them, and so I try to make my dealings not impact them, right? Yeah, it's only fair. So within our context, what types of setbacks do we frequently encounter? Yeah, within our business context, within our doing of a mediation, an alternative dispute resolution, a workshop, a seminar. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know what? We have an umbrella thought that everybody has, and this is absolutely true, that the main setback that happens is we need to modify our plans. Yeah, we need to modify something because we were fairly sure going in that this was how it was going to go and this is what we were going to do. But now that we're into it, something has happened to make us understand that we need to modify our initial plans. Our initial thoughts, because that's what setbacks do. They take you step back and go, whoops, three deep breaths. Let's see what we need to do now, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, why do you need to modify your plans? Let's talk about this. A lot of people are talking about further research. You've gone in with a plan. You've gone in with an idea of what things should be, what they should look like. And then you've gotten into further research, research, and it shows that the original plan, or at least parts of it, is not viable. It's not something that can be done. It seemed sensible. It seemed like this would be the path. But upon further research and reflection and thinking about it and seeing what's out in the world, right, you learn that maybe not. Yeah, it's not really going to work like you thought it was, right? Yeah. So further research tells us that, that's just not going to work. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What we're going to do is we're going to get our topics together like we often do, and then we're going to discuss them one by one in a kind of a practical manner because we're practical people. Another real popular one that's a real common setback that you guys are talking about, I'm going to call it counting on support from an influencer. Somebody said they would support you either money-wise or even more important, actual public support-wise. I'm going to assist you. I'm going to put my name to this type thing. And then when it came down to it, not so much. Mm-hmm. Or, and this is a good point, too, that a lot of people are making. In exchange for that support, they want something that you're not willing to give. And they hadn't exactly explained it up front because they knew that you probably weren't real fond of doing whatever it was they want you to do, right? So you were counting on support, and it fell through for one reason or another. Mm-hmm. This is one that comes up a lot, too, and a lot of folk are talking about this, too. Thank you for all of your participation. Sometimes your original plan that needs to be modified because you're kind of handling a setback, sometimes the setback is because the original plan was really too ambitious, too early in the stage, I'm going to call it. You need some preliminary steps. Something needs to be done before you can start from that level, right? It was just too ambitious, too soon to jump to that, to go back three steps and see what needs to be done. Mm-hmm. Good point. Sometimes outside circumstances change, and that causes a setback. Something happens that was really beyond your control, but there it is, and it's impacting what it is that you're going to need to do, what it is that you're going to need to handle. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and kind of have an outside change setback. Sometimes even the law changes, right? Mm-hmm. Lack of funds is a really good setback. Yeah, sometimes that happens, lack of funds. It might be the lack of support that we were talked about before. I was thinking more in the I'm going to help you with my connections type support, and lack of funds would be different, right? Although it could help to have some fundraising. I'm gonna call this the setback also, that quite a few people are talking about kind of running out of time. That they have a time period, or they stated how long it was going to take, and it's not making it. That we're running out of time on the whole thing. Yeah, that's a real common setback that happens. It just didn't quite make consensus there. Yeah, so those are our topics, yes? Kind of quite a few of them, but I think we'll handle it. We may not make the recipe. I know we have that a lot, and I apologize. So let's get down to it. Let's talk about each of these areas of setback one by one, and think about it in a rather practical manner as to what to do about it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The first one is you need further research showed you that your original plan, or at least parts of your original plan, is just not practical, not viable, not able to do. What should we do about that? Mm-hmm. This is a real good point that Siling and others are making. Siling says you need to double-check the research and discuss the interpretation. Yes, sometimes people come in like Chicken Little and they scream, it won't work, we have to give up and run off. Double-check the research and discuss the interpretation, as Siling says. Yes, let's make sure that what we're looking at Well, if it came off the internet, we better look and see if it's true, for one thing. And let's see what it really means, how it needs to be interpreted, right? We may not be as bad off as we think. We may just need to modify our original ideas, but not just quit and run off into the night. No, we're going to double check first of all and think about it and see if there's two sides to it, right? Mm-hmm. Because just like we don't want to stop when we reach the side that agrees with us, right? We've talked about that in prior shows. Prior shows archived on the website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Yes. And just like we don't stop when we see research that validates our idea, we look further and see if there's opposing, right? We don't stop when we find opposing. We look further and find out, well, why? Yes. And what's been done, and if there's some that agrees with us, or we're the first, hey, all good. But we need to modify and think about it. Mm-hmm. Discuss interpretation. Good point, too. Emma and others are saying you need to determine if the research situation is directly applicable. Is it really, really on point, directly applicable? Sometimes maybe not so much, right? Yeah. Is the research directly applicable? Is that something that's really, really going to be important? Mm-hmm. Excuse me, took a sip of water. Yeah, research directly applicable. Mm-hmm. Yes, Tosha and others are talking about bringing in some experts because we're going to need some direction to get out of this setback. We're going to need some direction to give us advice on what to do next. Yeah. Yes. She says expertise to evaluate the next steps and plan the modification. And remember, we've talked about experts before, too. I think we did a whole show on them, if you look back. An expert is not necessarily someone who you hire with a bunch of degrees and actually comes and talks to you, right? Yeah. First of all, we have some expertise in our group. But we need to look outside, too, for some advice. The advice does not necessarily have to be someone with a fancy degree. It's someone who's done it before. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the best advice is the people who have failed before because they tell you what went wrong and their opinion about where they went kind of off the rails and what they would have done differently. Yeah, and that's really invaluable advice because it allows you to start from a different starting point. You've already got some expertise. A lot of times, people who have not quite succeeded, their group kind of didn't and kind of maybe dissolved, a lot of times those people are still interested in the issues, would still like to see things resolved. It just didn't work out, but they'd like to help. They'd like to tell you who they talk to, who, you know what I mean? They'd like to have a successful outcome. It's just that it didn't quite work the first time. Hey, it's all right. Mm-hmm. So we're going to go get some expertise. Might even be expertise in further research. Uh-huh. Yeah. Because people think of an expert as someone you hire for a lot of money and bring in. Might be true, yes, oftentimes that's true, but might not be. Might be someone with a special interest. Pardon me. Gunther and others are saying the prior failure of a different attempt is instructive and does not necessarily mean the plan is not viable. Yeah. Prior failure of a different attempt is instructive and does not necessarily mean that the plan is not viable. They didn't make it, but they weren't us, right? Sometimes, I don't know how to describe this, but a lot of you are talking about it, and it's true. Sometimes something was tried, and it was kind of too early in society. Too early in the scheme of the world somehow. Yeah. It it's funny like that. And then the same, pretty much the same plan is attempted again when the, you know, we call it the climate out here in the United States, and maybe in Americanism. Sometimes we call it political climate. It doesn't necessarily indicate politicians, the people that you hire to run your government. Political climate is really a kind of a catch-all phrase for times have changed. Does that make any sense? Yeah. Sometimes something is tried, well, some years before, fell flat on its face. And you go, oh, my God, that's not going to work. But then, as Gunther says, prior failure of a different attempt is instructive and does not necessarily mean the plan is not viable. Maybe the political climate has changed. Maybe times have changed, right? Let's try it again. It may basically be the same plan, but oftentimes with different people implementing it. Maybe someone from the prior time has gotten together a new group, right? And sometimes the climate has changed. People are asking for an example. I have a kind of a good example from the United States. Marijuana has been illegal in the United States, federally illegal, for a long time, right? And the law was rigorously enforced, and people are actually in jail for selling and buying and growing and things, marijuana. Mm-hmm. Federal law, Department of Drug Enforcement Agency, big deal, DEA. And people took that kind of as a for granted. And there was attempts to legalize marijuana because it's fairly innocuous, not any worse than alcohol, and 43 other arguments were made. In addition to the fact that it is a good pressure and pain reliever for things like glaucoma, it fell flat on their face. I mean, nothing could be done. The law was the law. Politicians, speaking of politicians, wanted to touch it because it was pretty much unpopular at home. Then times changed. The political climate changed. The actual, talk about outside changes, which we're going to talk about later on in this show, the actual plants changed. When you talk about legal marijuana, it's not the same plant that it was in the 60s. It is a modified, grown for certain purposes, hybrid, fancy schmancy pedigree type thing. It's no longer the weed that it once was, right? Yeah. And the agriculture has gotten more sophisticated. The use has gotten more sophisticated because HIV came into existence, unfortunately. And it's very painful and there's wasting and like that. I know there's drugs now, too, but a lot of people need it to alleviate pain and nausea. And then there's new cancer treatments, right? And they have a lot of nausea involved in them. All kinds of pressury things like glaucoma and stuff. Okay, so what I'm telling you is not only did the outside plant actually change, the agriculture, the political climate changed, and people said, well, we need this for medical purposes. It's not the same as sitting around stoned on a futon. Yeah, we really need this. It would really help our lives, and the painkillers are awful, and this would really be a good thing. So the fight changed, and it went towards medical, right? Same people, same ideas, same people in the room. And then the federal wouldn't move. We had to think outside the box and do it state by state, which is very, very forward-thinking and peculiar because federal law still is illegal. But state law in many states is legal, even though federal takes precedence. Very strange. The federal, at the moment, at least, is not enforcing their own law against the states who have legalized marijuana. Very strange. Mm-hmm. Yes. So you see, it is many setbacks. But people kept thinking of different ways to approach it. And times changed, too. The political climate changed. All right, some very influential politicians aged, got something that marijuana would alleviate. Hey, that's, I've got it in my house now, right? Yeah, now I need it. I've changed my mind. Changed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so things changed. And the same arguments, the same setbacks, were now viable, even though they had failed in the past. So you've got to look to that. Mm-hmm. Let's go on to the next one, or we won't make it all the way down our list today. The influencer support is not given. Mm-hmm. Yes, Hussein and others are absolutely correct. Hussein says, respectfully, ask to the 5W question. Respectfully, mm-hmm. Because you don't want them to be mad at you because you'd like them to change their mind, right? But you can't change someone's mind if you don't know the 5W questions, which are who, what, where, when, and why, right? Mainly the why on this one. Yeah, because if you know that, then perhaps you can work it around and get them to fulfill their promise and to support you, right? Yeah, because sometimes that's very important. You need someone to come out publicly on your side, for example. We had that with marijuana. People, celebrities and scientists and people of gravitas came out and said that they thought it would be a mighty fine thing to have medical, and then that pushed forward towards recreational. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. This is a good point, too. Anthony and the others are saying, you ask the 5W questions internally to determine if expecting support was reasonable. Yeah. Who said that he or she was going to support us? What makes you think that, right? Let's ask that beforehand, before we kind of announce that somebody's on our side, and then they announce that they're not, which is even worse than not being on our side in the first place, right? Yeah, and they say, no, I'm with the opposition. Oops. Yeah. So let's, before we count on an influencer, right, let's internally ask the 5W questions and find out if that dependence, if that idea is really a viable one, if that's really true that we can count on them. And why do we think that? Yeah, maybe we should double check. Maybe we should approach them first and say, pretty please. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, Ellen and others are saying a good thing, too. If the person you thought that was going to be the influencer kind of backs out, yeah, and makes it, it's a setback. But as Ellen says, you need to gather your network and seek assistance from another source. A source with a history of interest in the issues. Yeah. All right, they may not have such good name recognition, but maybe they'll know somebody, right? You have to kind of use your network. Reach out to everybody you know and see who knows somebody who, or is somebody, who would be willing to put their name to it and really push this. Really, or make some phone calls, make some connections for you so that you can get into some closed doors, right? Yeah, it's kind of all about the people, always is. All about the people and all about what it is that they can do, right? Yeah. So let's do some networking. Let's think about this. Let's really, really consider what it is that we are wanting, right? And what it is that we can get, what it is that we can really do. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So You gather your network and you seek assistance from another source. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the question is the history of interest in the issues. Sometimes you'll be surprised who you know. Sometimes I am. I have friends that I didn't even know were into some issues, but when I kind of ask around, I find out all kinds of things about my friends, and it's fabulous. Yes. Mm-hmm. Let's go on to the next one, which is that the preliminary plan was just too ambitious. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're starting too high. It's too ambitious. We have to go back a two steps. As Suki and others are saying, you need to lay a foundation by following a business plan and going step by step. Yeah, you need to lay a foundation, as Suki says. You can't kind of jump in midway. It's not going to work. You have to lay your foundation of who's going to do what, as she refers to it as a business plan, and it is really, where we map out what our course of action is going to be. Now, that sometimes gets modified, too, depending on how things are going, but it does give us a direction. It gives us something to keep going on, right? Yeah. So, yeah, it's reasonable to call it a business plan because it really kind of is. Mm-hmm. Nicholas says that if you skip the foundation work, the plan will fail because it's not a clearly defined mission. Yeah. If it's too ambitious, it's too broad, too. We want to really laser in on what it is needs to be done now, so that we can get on to the next step, and the next step, and the next, and then to our successful outcome. What needs to be done now? That's the foundation work, right? Let's set that into motion. Let's get that in place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Joyce and others are talking about transparency. Mm-hmm. I like transparency. I think it's really the ability to always ask questions, too. And you can't lay a strong foundation if people don't exactly understand what they're doing. So you need to actually have transparency and allow people to ask questions. Now, okay, sometimes somebody in the group is a little bit behind the others. And the group dynamic is feeling a little impatient about the 9,000 questions, right? There are no dumb questions. But sometimes somebody is just kind of circularly lost. This is why we have timeouts. This is why we have a moment to personally speak to the leader and get all that resolved and not have to have it resolved in front of the whole group and take the group's time. Yeah. And so, yeah, it's not a bad thing to want to know stuff. And there are no dumb questions. There's no stupid questions. But some questions need to be handled in a kind of a one-on-one session, right? So that we get that out of the way and then the group can go forward. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, Toby says that being kept informed of the process. And it is, too. Mm-hmm. Because people, step-by-step's kind of arduous, right? And people go, well, let's just get to it. And the answer is, yeah, we're getting there, but you got to lay some groundwork. And that's why we have transparency and we explain the process, because then everybody understands that and that it's not just stalling and we're not just having a lot of meetings. We are together so we can go forward. Mm-hmm. Yes. Raymond and others are saying you need clearly defined tasks, duties, and expectations. Clearly defined tasks, duties, and expectations, right? I want to know exactly what it is that I'm doing. In fact, in all truth and honesty, those are the best questions. When I'm a participant, I ask questions like that. I want to get down to exactly what it is I'm doing and what is expected of me. Because I want to know, I want to get it clear, right? And the other part of that is, as leader, which we usually are, we want to kind of keep track of how people are doing, right? Because sometimes people think they've got it. They've got their task, their duty, their expectation, or they were too embarrassed to ask because everybody else seemed like they got theirs, right? And they really kind of didn't. And they're either ignoring the whole thing because they haven't the vaguest notion, or they are doing something sideways. And it's really, neither one of those statements is a really fine thing, right? Yeah, they're doing something sideways. They're just ignoring something. You got to kind of have people check in and check in on them and say, how's it going? What are you doing? In a nice way, right? So that you know if for some reason they've kind of veered off the path, kind of gone sideways there, right? Yeah. Very easy to do. It is. And it's something that you have to guard against. Yes. They kind of, not so much. Yeah. And that's where you want to keep track of everybody and have kind of reports in. How we doing? Where we going? Where we to? Yeah. Misha says you need to celebrate each step so that you understand how much progress has been accomplished. Celebrate each step so that we understand how much progress has been accomplished. Yes, we're very big on that at Recipe for Peace Now. You know, you can look back at the archive shows. They're archived on our website, recipeforpeacenow.com. And yes, it's important to remember how far you've come is the key to it. And to really celebrate that, because we forget. We forget how bad off we were to begin with. We're in the middle of it, and it seems we're not getting anywhere. But we are getting somewhere. It's just that sometimes things take a little time. So you need to celebrate each success, each step that was successful on the way up. Let's talk about our next topic, which is changed outside circumstances. Changed outside circumstances. We talked a little bit about that in my marijuana example, that the actual product changed, but the political climate changed too. And this is really a bad thing, but it did change the political climate. A new and quite horrible sexually transmitted disease popped onto the scene, with a lot of people who were really quite vocal and active about trying to do something about it. And marijuana was one of the things that could alleviate some of the suffering. Because the rich, especially in the beginning of HIV/AIDS, the suffering was really quite horrible. And I think it still is. I'm not sure about how progressed the new medications are. I'm fortunate that I don't have to know that personally. But that made a difference too. A new vocal, desperate group came on the scene. So that changed outside circumstance. Yeah. Cheryl and others are talking about new laws or new interpretations by the courts that impacts how to proceed. New laws and new interpretations by the courts, which interpret the laws, of course, impacts how to proceed, right? Some outside changes, and it changes how we need to approach the problem. Maybe it solves the problem. Yeah, that would be good. But sometimes it just makes it, it's just a setback, and it makes it go maybe not worse, but at least sideways. Does that make any sense? Yeah, kind of, that's not so good. Yeah. So, yeah, changed law, changed outside circumstances. You know, this is a good point that Muhammad is making, and quite a few other people, too. Sometimes the change, the outside change, is there's a new and rather well-organized opposition group. Yeah. There wasn't much opposition. Everybody, either people ignored it or they let you handle it. But now there's an opposition group that's fairly well done and is really a contender, right? Yeah, Muhammad calls it a new opposition group. Sometimes it's not even so new, it's just newly organized. Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody's really taken it on and really done something that is an organized group, not just people kind of complaining, right? Right. Mm-hmm. You know, this is true, too. John's saying that sometimes the changed outside circumstances is that a new group forms with the same outcome as their goal, but a different reason. Now, are they with you or against you? Same outcome as their goal, but a different reason. Well, this is where we kind of reach out, right? And say, hi, we're here. We want the same outcome. It will benefit us both, even though we have a different reason, right? Let's get together and combine our resources, maybe. Yeah. Let's not be working the same side of the street. Let's get together and get the outcome accomplished, and then we can both use it for our own reasons. Yeah. See, people don't think about that. They go, oh, we're different. Well, you want the same thing, right? Well, if you want the same thing, let's get that thing, that successful outcome, and then we can each use it in our own manner. Why not? Yeah. You know, this is a good point, too. Adrian says that sometimes the thing that changes is the outcome has been accomplished. Yeah. You were fighting for it, you were going for it, and like that, and a miracle happened. Voila! It's been accomplished. We either successfully reached our outcome, right? We were part of it, probably, for sure. But really, for some reason or another, it's been accomplished. But you're still a successful group dynamic. Well, there must be something else that we can help the world with, right? Yeah, let's think about this. We're really something. We've got a fabulous group dynamic. We're well organized. We have some influencers. We've got some people on our side, right? We really understand how to tackle a problem. And we've got it accomplished, or it got accomplished somewhere in the world, and we're not needed for that particular issue anymore. Well, maybe we should take our strong group dynamic and agree on something else that needs to be done in the world, something else that could use fixing. Oh, there's lots of stuff, right? Yeah. Let's find something else that would be a good thing to help the world with. Why not? Yes, let's do it. Let's find something else. Yeah, organizations do that sometimes. In the United States, there was a thing called March of Dimes. Mm-hmm. And a thing called Easter Seals. I think, I can't remember exactly, they were both for something that actually, childhood disease, that actually got cured. It got a vaccine. I think one of them was polio. I can't remember what the other one was. Maybe it was polio also. In any event, it's like those cancer organizations. Someday, God willing, cancer will be cured. They don't need to fund research anymore, right? Yeah. Vaccines come into existence. March of Dimes and Easter Seals are still around in the United States. They are still well organized. They are still mighty fine. And they are still helping people, helping children mainly, in different arenas. Yeah, something else needs to be cured. We have expertise and funding and organization. Let's not disband. Although something wonderful has happened, and our goal has been accomplished. Mm-hmm. Let's go to lack of funds, which is our next one. Yeah. Well, yeah, I'm kind of working our way because I know you guys like the ending recipe, and I'm kind of working my way to getting it. Okay, so lack of funds. Sharon and others are saying it's easy to do because you underestimate your expenses. Sometimes you also underestimate how long it's going to take. Is what it really is. We try to keep expenses to a minimum. if we possibly can, even if we are well-funded, because everything takes longer and is more expensive than you think it's going to be, just naturally speaking, let's face it. So we always try to come in as under budget as we can. But sometimes things happen. We have setbacks, and we're running out of funds. So what should we do? Yeah, you're going to have to raise some. Now, in the United States, and I'm certain in a lot of places, there's such a thing as a professional fundraiser. This is someone who organizes these types of things, oftentimes does the bookkeeping, gets the tables together for people. If you're going to have a big fundraiser, I think you're going to need to call in an expert to really get it put together properly so that it runs smoothly. It's worth the expense if they raise enough money. I usually make a contingent, because they need to bring in some donors too. But if you've got a group and we're running out of funds, you can, and we need a substantial amount of money, not just pass the hat, let's all put in $20 towards lunch and office supplies, right? Yeah, because that's not money. That's just we're all volunteers, and we're just going to get a few cents together so that nobody has to actually buy all of the lunch or office supplies type thing. But, yeah, that's not money. If you need really money for a fundraiser, you need more than $100,000 to accomplish whatever your goal is, right? I think you should invest in a professional fundraiser if there is such a thing in your area and they've got a good reputation. They get together the whole thing, but you have to look at your group, see how big you are, see who you know, because if you're going to do that, you have to have people come and donate, which is the idea of the fundraiser. They need to donate maybe auction items, something for you to sell. Raffle items, correct. Same thing as an auction, basically speaking. And like that, you need people to pay an admission price to come and support your organization, right? Right. And you really have to keep rein on expenses, or else you're going to have had a very nice party, but there's not going to be nothing left over, right? Yeah, that's the key to it, to really keep the rein on the expenses, to keep a handle on it. Yes, you can do that. You can pass the hat, but not for a tremendous amount of money. You can do a fundraiser, right? You can do the computer ones, the crowdsourcing ones, yes. They also need to be done with some skill, right? That's very viable nowadays. You can do outreach, letter-type outreach, media-type outreach to ask people to give you money. I don't know how well that works in today's day and age. I think the crowdfunding probably works a little bit better. And it certainly is cheaper. I got to tell you, mailing is an expensive proposition. It should be done professionally. Somebody should look at it and make sure that it says what you want it to say and that it will indeed be appealing. And people put money in the envelope is the key to it, right? Right. Another thing you can do, as Hayden and others are talking about, is to join forces with similar groups deciding the same issues, yes, and combine your resources. Yeah. You can say, look, we're doing the same thing. We're both kind of struggling because if one's a lot better, it's kind of hard to say, we've lost all our funds, could you feed us? Unless you have something to offer, your expertise, for example. So you join with them and combine resources, right? That's really true. A lot of people are talking about that it's hard to do because there's always a power struggle. You know, it is true that when you combine resources, especially a little unevenly, with another group, remember that both groups had committees and leadership and ideas and people that had gotten used to each other and like that. And sometimes combining's a little messy because nobody wants to lose what they had because it was good, but we could still use the numbers, the expertise, the financial advantage and like that. We understand on a basic level that it would be advantageous. It would be a good thing. What we don't understand is how exactly we're going to do it, and that sometimes actually takes an outside negotiator. I have indeed been that person, and really it's to allay fears that people are going to just be thrown out, right? Because they're not. We need everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah, see, kind of a power struggle. You really do. Even though everybody is a good-hearted, like-minded person, still, it was kind of their baby, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And our last topic, which maybe we will get through, yes, is that sometimes you need more time to reach consensus. You need more time. You haven't quite, you're working on it, but you haven't quite made it yet, right? You need more time to reach consensus. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good point that when everything's kind of going a little slow, as Barbara says, it drains resources and enthusiasm. You need to call in an expert third party impartial to move the situation. Yes. When you're handling a setback that really is time, you just haven't had more time. You need more time. You're not reaching consensus. As Barbara says, that drains resources and enthusiasm. You need to call in an expert third party impartial to move the situation. Exactly. They've gotten stuck. Now they've got a good idea. They're the right people for the good idea. We're combining, so it's a little awkward, right? Everybody's going to have to work together. There's a power struggle going on, and they've gotten stuck. They've gotten stubborn. That's why you need the third-party impartial to untangle the situation. It is actually one of my areas of expertise. I get called in a lot on those kinds of groups. They're already in play. Usually, I cannot change the membership of the group. They all need to be there. But they do need to talk to each other. They do need to be able to handle dealing with each other. They need to not get so wound up, so stuck, that they throw up their hands and give up in disgust. Because what they're doing is very important and needs to be a successful outcome. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of you guys like the timeline theory. Nara and others, they create a timeline with set goals to keep moving forward. It's a good idea. I don't, those of you who have been here before, and thank you everyone for being here. I don't make timelines for the sake of making timelines, because I think it's one more thing that needs to be modified down the way, unless you've got an actual outside imposed timeline. For example, you need to get something on a ballot at a certain time. That's different. An actual deadline, the kind that cannot be moved, that you need to really, really deal with, that is different. Now we're talking something. Now we've got something that needs to truly be handled. Yeah, an actual timeline. But the other is just a timeline, an idea of when things should be done. That's going to need to be, it's going to need to be modified. However, if you're stuck, maybe that would help, have a timeline to move forward when we need to get to our next point. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a good point too. Chan and others are saying it's really a question of why you need more time. You have to determine that. We're going to break out the 5W questions again. Who, what, where, when, and why? Why do we need more time? Somebody's stalling. Yeah? Is it a deliberate tactic? Got to think about that, too. Third-party impartial is good with those, too, right? The question of why we've gotten stuck, why we need more time, is one that needs to be answered so that we can go on. Because sometimes the answer is kind of a negative, and we need to know what to do about it, right? Because we've gotten stuck. We're stagnated. Yes. Okay. Thank you so much for all of your discussion. I know a lot of you like me to manage to get at least one recipe, and we've got like 8 minutes. Let's get to the recipe, and then we can discuss this more off-show online if you would like. Yes, yes. When we do, one of the things the Recipe for Peace Now promotes, of course, is to have some food in the room because we're going to need some timeouts. We're going to need some breathing time, and we're going to need some time for the leader to maybe speak privately with some of the participants and maybe even ask the 5W questions, right? Or at least several of them. Mm-hmm. And determine what needs to be done. So, if we have some food in the room, then that gives us a chance to get to know each other better, gives us a chance to have a break, gives us a chance to call a time out and do something that we like that will keep us all in the room. If you're going to have food, and you are, and you remember that the food is a tool, even though we might also be hungry, well, first thing we're going to do is we're going to take a survey and ask if anybody has an allergy, a religious prohibition to some sort of food, or something that they can't eat, or won't eat, as a matter of fact. We're going to disseminate that information because we don't want anybody to have a bad time, right? Right. We're going to tell everybody. We're also going to ask that if you bring food, that you actually bring it, not what just what it's called, but a list of what's in it. So I can run my eye down the list and see if I can eat that, right? Yeah. I also think you should always have a safe recipe, something that we're for sure everybody can eat, and everybody in my group would be familiar with the contents. We can also have an adventure recipe. We're going to do the adventure recipe this time because I'm trying to keep doing the ones that are left over from last time. I say two recipes at the beginning of the show, and you all know that we're lucky when we get to one. But we have such fabulous conversations, and they're so important. So really, there's always like one left over practically every time. And so I'm trying to do the leftover one first, yes, because I know you guys vote for different ones. And yeah, and we will get to the pasta with beans and beef next time. Yes, I'm trying to remember to do that. So this is the adventure recipe. What makes it an adventure recipe? Well, it's full of fish and shellfish, and things that sometimes people don't eat, can't eat, won't eat, or allergic to. But we've taken our survey, and we know that people in our group can eat fish and shellfish. We're also going to label it very clearly. And I, because it's such an awful allergy, I actually garnish with like a shrimp or something on the outside of the bowl so you can actually see it visually and not accidentally think it's not in there. Yeah, I'm also not big on a lot of disguising stuff when I have something that's an adventure recipe, like mixing it in with pasta or hummus or something awful like that. Yeah, okay. So this is a nice fish casserole. It is our adventure recipe. We have taken the survey. We have put out the list of what's in it. Everybody seems to be okay, and shellfish, because that's the main thing we need to know. Mm-hmm. Don't want any nasty surprises. So let's have a couple tablespoons of oil. Mm-hmm. A nice big sweet onion that we're going to slice up nice and thin. A red pepper and a yellow pepper. We're going to seed them and vein them and get out all the goo, right? Mm-hmm. And thinly slice them up because it's going to look like the onion. If you want to chop, you've got to chop the onion too. Three garlic cloves. We're going to chop those up because they can't go whole, of course, kind of mince them. Let's have a nice big can, like a 16-ounce can of diced tomatoes, sauce and all, juice and all. A teaspoon of chopped fresh oregano. Yum, yum, yum. If you'd like, we could have a few saffron threads. It's quite expensive and sometimes not available, but it does add a level of flavor. If you'd like, you can have a few threads. You soak them in a couple of tablespoons in water for, a couple of minutes to make them soft. You do not fish them out like bay leaves, no. Let's have a pound of some sort of a firm fish, like a cod or something. In fact, let's have 2 pounds. Mm-hmm. let's have 2 pounds of whitefish. Let's have 1 pound of cooked peeled shrimp. Did you hear the word cooked? They come like that around here. If they're raw, you have to put them in for a little more time than we're going to. Don't, however, overcook shrimp because it turns them rubbery. They need to just be that white, opaque look to them. Let's have cup and a half of fish stock. If you don't have fish stock, which, quite frankly, I don't have fish stock because I don't make stock. I just get it out of, well, actually a box, but that's beside the point, like a can. You can use vegetable. Vegetable is perfectly fine with this. Chicken's a little off because the fish is delicate and it takes the flavor. I would use vegetable. You've got vegetables in there anyway with the onions and the peppers. Okay. Heat the oil. Saute the onion and the garlic. About a couple of minutes, they begin to soften. We're going to add the peppers. Additional 5 minutes. We're going to add the tomatoes, the oregano, the saffron if you're using it. Stir the whole thing up. Let's preheat our oven while we're doing this, 400 degrees. We're going to take our nice fish and we're going to put it in a big Dutch oven. We're going to pour our lovely mixture with the tomatoes and the peppers and the garlic and like that over it. We're going to put the stock in there, right, the vegetable stock. Mix it all up. So that it's, and then put it so that it is kind of all the fish is a little bit underneath the liquid, right? Kind of evenly. So you don't have mounds of fish and loose liquid. You wouldn't do that anyway, would you? No, because it would look ridiculous. Cover it, cook in our oven about half an hour. The fishes should now be cooked through and tender, right? The shrimp is already pre-cooked and shelled and everything. Now you add it. It's cold, right, the shrimp? So you want to make it so that the shrimp is hot, but you're not really cooking the shrimp. So you add it in. I actually have turned off the oven by now, and I stick the whole thing back in the oven for like maybe less than 10 minutes. It's the last thing you do, right? You just want everything to be heated through, and nothing else have gotten cold from the shrimp. It's all delicious. It's all hot. We've made some rice to the side because we like rice and we serve it to the side so that people can have as much as they want. You don't like rice, you can do some sort of pasta. That would be nice too. Yeah, a lot of you vote for mashed potatoes. I like mashed potatoes, and I think that they're lovely with the kind of delicate sauce, right? Yeah. We've got some votes for pasta. Maybe small pasta. Yeah, more like a couscous type thing or something like that. Yeah, because couscous kind of floats. If you're going to do pasta, do something that's small individual pieces so that you don't have the messy long angel hair pasta thing. I think that's a mess and you have to use tongs. Now, you can judge that because it sort of looks better with the seafood stew and it's more traditional. So you can judge that. Me, I would go for rice, but it's because I have a giant rice cooker. This is an easy recipe, delicious. Everybody likes it, easy to handle. You can, of course, make more or less. You just double or make less in the recipe. Easy to handle that way, too, yes? And it's beautiful. And you can kind of heat it, make it, cook it in the oven so that if you've got facilities, so that the whole place smells good. Yes, which is also enticing. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for being here. We are out of time. Thank you for being here. Thank you for all of your participation. Thank you for listening. If you would like to find us, we're at recipeforpeacenow@gmail.com. The website is www.recipeforpeacenow.com. Prior shows, they are archived on that website, recipeforpeacenow.com. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all of your participation. And please do come again. Thanks. Bye-bye.